Genesis chapter 8. The rain had quit falling. The fountains of the deep that had broken up had closed. But the water remained on the face of the earth. Noah got a little anxious and said, I'm going to see if there's anything sticking their head out of the water yet. See if there's anything starting to dry out. So he took two birds, a raven and a dove. I used to read these verses when I was a kid, and I'd wonder to myself, well, why did the dove come back and the raven didn't? I mean, the Bible says the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, as we read there in verse 9, but it talks about the raven that never came back. And as I got older and began to understand the difference between the two birds, I understood what was going on in this passage of Scripture. You see, if you read the Bible, or if you know anything at all about birds, the raven, it was a dirty bird. It was a bird that could not be used for sacrifice. It was a bird that ate the flesh of dead things. It was a bird that visited the garbage heap and picked out the garbage. It was a bird that didn't mind getting entangled or enmeshed in the slime of the pits. It was a dirty bird. And so when Noah sent that raven out of the ark, there was no tree for it to rest upon. There was no perch for it to rest upon. But there was a lot of dead things floating on the water. There were the corpses of all the animals that died. There were the corpses of all the people that died. That's what happens when a flood comes. Everything dies, and then it floats to the top of the water. And the raven, being a dirty bird, had no problem going from corpse to corpse, having a smorgasbord, so to speak, enjoying the things that were dead. Now, if you read your Bibles, or if you know anything about doves, they are a clean bird. They are a bird that was okay to offer as sacrifices in the Hebrew way of worship to God. It was a dove, for example, that Mary and Joseph offered when they took Jesus to the temple on the eighth day. It was a dove that came from heaven the day that Jesus was baptized and lighted on him. So a dove was a clean bird. And when Noah let the dove out of the window of the ark, it saw the same carcasses. It saw the same dirty things that floated on the face of the water. But the dove wanted nothing to do with them. So the dove went back to the ark. I could almost hear a conversation between these two birds as they flew out of the ark that day. I think the raven looked over at the dove and said, "Hey, dove, aren't you excited about being free? We don't have to do what old Noah says anymore. We're not cooped up in the ark. We get to get out and go where we want and look at all this good stuff that's been provided for us to eat." And the dove looked back at the raven and said, "Hey, I don't know about you, but none of this stuff appeals to me. None of this stuff excites me. It's all dirty. It's all filthy. I want nothing to do with it." I don't know, maybe at that time there were tall mountains that had peaked out of the water as the waters began to recede. Maybe there were some tall trees whose tops appeared out of the water. But I'm sure they were still greasy from being in underneath the water. I'm sure there were garbage on top of the mountains as the waters began to recede. Again, the raven would enjoy that. The raven would enjoy going to the top of the mountains and picking the garbage that was left there as the floodwaters receded. The raven would enjoy getting on those greasy tree limbs and just eating the filth that were caked to the limbs until the sun dried it all out, but not the dove. The dove wanted nothing to do with it. The dove wouldn't so much as put its foot down on a corpse or on a greasy tree limb or on a mountain full of garbage. It wasn't to the dove's liking. And so finding no place to rest, the dove says, "I'm going back to the ark. I'm going back to Noah." What was the difference? The difference was the nature of those two birds. There was something that was in the raven that liked to be around dead things. That same thing wasn't in the dove. There was something in the raven that liked to be around garbage. That same thing was not in the dove. Doves don't pick at the dead. Ravens do. Doves don't eat garbage. Ravens do. Doves don't like filth. Ravens do. And again, maybe they've met up together, and maybe the raven tried to entice the dove to enjoy some of the things that that raven was going to enjoy, but the dove said, no way, there's nothing in my nature that this garbage, that this filth appeals to. There's nothing in my nature that it appeals to. I'm going back to Noah. I'm going back to the ark. Let me just be real honest with you this morning. Those two birds represent the two groups of people that are in this auditorium this morning. There are probably a few ravens here. You've never been saved. You've never been born again. You'll be glad when I am done so that you can get out of this place. The Bible means nothing to you. You love the world. You love the garbage that the devil serves up in the world. And so you're anxious to get out of here because you want to get back to that place where you feel at home. The vast majority of people here are doves. You've been saved. You've been born again. You look back to the day that you admitted that you were a sinner. You look back to the day that you understood that there was a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. Oh, and by the way, at one point in time, all of us were all sinners. Every single one of us. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. I'm not a dove this morning. The doves are not doves this morning because they cleaned themselves up, because they turned over a new leaf, because they reformed themselves. We are doves this morning and have a new nature because one day we knew that we were a sinner. We understood there was a penalty for that sin, and we came to Jesus Christ and asked him to save us. There's no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. And only through Jesus Christ can we get saved. Only through Jesus Christ can you become a dove. And so we asked Jesus to save us. And he moved in. And he washed away every sin. He blotted out every sin. He put on our record the righteousness of Christ. And we could sing the song, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free, and in my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God, my sins are gone. And so there are some doves. Most of us are doves this morning. Again, not because of anything that we have done, but because of what the Lord Jesus Christ have done for us. There are some ravens here, probably just a few, never been saved, still enjoy living in the world and what Satan offers in the world. Now, I want to tell you this morning, and I'm going to preach a little bit of a different sermon. I'm not going to preach to the ravens this morning, although at the end I'll say some words to those of you that are not saved. But I'm not going to preach to the ravens this morning. I'm going to preach to the doves that didn't come back to the ark. You say, what are those? Well, I'll tell you in just a minute. You say, is there any record in the Bible of a dove that didn't come back to the ark? No. Noah only sent out one, and he came back. He or she came back. But I want you to let me just talk to you this morning about doves in our day and age that don't stay in the ark. You see, when we got saved, God gave us a new nature. In 2 Peter 1:4, the Bible says, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. So we have some precious, exceedingly great and precious promise. What's more precious than the promise, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life? What's more precious than the promise, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? What's more precious than the promise, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name? Those are precious, mighty, and wonderful promises that God makes in his word. Makes them to every single person. I mean, if you're a raven here this morning, you're a raven by choice because you haven't claimed the promises that God made to you. If you're a raven here this morning, you're a raven because you've decided to ignore Christ, to ignore what the Bible says, and to continue to live in your sin. But I'm not preaching to ravens this morning. What's more precious than those promises that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature? You see, when I got saved, the Holy Spirit moved into me and he put a new nature inside of me. I have the nature of God. I have the nature of Jesus Christ. I have the nature of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me. I still have that old nature that I was born with. Every single one of us was born with an old nature. The Bible refers to it as the old man that still lives inside of us. And as a Christian, I still have that old nature and I have that new nature, the nature of God. Those natures pull at me. The old nature tries to get me to do wrong. The new nature tries to get me to do right. You ask the question, which one wins? And somebody asked an old Indian one time, what are those two natures that lives inside of you? And the old Indian said, well, I have a nature that's like a white dog that tries to get me to do good, and I have a nature like a black dog that tries to get me to do bad. And they asked him, well, which one wins? And the Indian said, the one that I say sick 'em to. That's the one who wins. The ones that I say sick 'em to. And I have those two natures. I have that new nature that was given to me by God, having escaped. That new nature lets me escape. That the death of Christ and my acceptance of him lets me escape the corruption, the death and the filth and the garbage that's in the world. But wait a minute. As I look out the window of the ark, I see the raven out there flying from corpse to corpse, feasting on the dead that are floating on the waters. But you know what else I see? I see some doves. Some doves. Those that have been saved. Those that should have, whose new nature wants nothing to do with the filth that the world offers. But I see some doves out there going from corpse to corpse, feasting on the garbage that the world has to offer. And you know that happens just as well as I do. You know there are Christians that get back with the old crowd. You know as well as I do that there are Christians that go back to their old friends. They get mad at somebody in church or the preacher upsets them. And again, if you want to get upset by the preacher, come tonight. I promise you I'll upset most of you, if not all of you. But they get upset with the preacher. They get mad at somebody at church and they leave church. And they say, well, if that's what Christianity is all about, I don't want any part of it. I'm going to go back to my old friends. I'm going to go back to my old ways. I'm going to go back to what I enjoyed in the world. And as I look out of the window of the ark, I see doves that are setting on the carcasses of the world, flying from body to body, eating the world's garbage, partaking of the world's filth. Now, they know better. They used to come to church. They used to read their Bible. They used to listen to preaching. They loved it when they come. But something happened. Something came into their life. They got them mad at the church, got them mad at the preacher, even got them mad at God. And they said, hey, I don't want anything to do with God anymore. I don't want anything to do with the church anymore. And now you're back in the world and you're feasting on what the world has to offer. And so this morning, I want to say a couple words to the doves that haven't come back to the ark. Number one, you won't enjoy the world like you used to. You won't. You can go ahead. You can go back. You can go back to where you used to frequent. You can go back to the habits that you used to take part in. You can go back to the living that you used to live in. Go back to the days where there weren't any rules. Go back to the days where there weren't any boundaries. Go back to the days that you could do anything you wanted to do. But I guarantee you it will not give you the same thrill that it used to give you. And by the way, the thrill that the world offers is only a temporary thrill. The Bible says sin is pleasurable, but only for a season. And when it's finished, it's bring it forth death. Now, there may be some doves that haven't returned to the ark this morning, and you'll take exception to what I just said. Preacher, you don't know what you're talking about. The beer tastes just as good. The cigarettes taste just as good. The parties are just as much fun as they used to be. You may be able to fool somebody, but you cannot fool me. You are lying. You can't enjoy it. You can't enjoy it. You know why you can't enjoy it? Because there's a part of you that every moment you spend in the world is whispering in your ear and whispering in your heart and whispering in your soul, we're not supposed to be here. This is not fun. This is not enjoyable. This is what, we're not supposed to be here. And let me give you an analogy. I want you to think of the most godliest person you knew. Most godliest person. Brother Wayne, that'd probably be your mom. I've heard you talk about your mom. Most godliest person you knew. My grandmother's probably the most godliest person I knew. You know what would, you know what's going, you know what going, what a dove feels when they go back into the world? It'd be like Brother Wayne going back into the world with his mother beside him. You think he's going to enjoy it? Not for a second. It'd be like me going back into the world with my grandmother beside me. You think I'm going to enjoy it? I mean, I'm talking about the grandma that shook her pointed finger in my face, says, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. You think if I went into the world with her that she could keep her mouth shut? Every place I started to go, she would say, we're not supposed to be here. That's right, Denise, you get that finger out and knock me in the head with it and say, look, we're not supposed to be here. I'm not enjoying this. This is not right. I'm not having any fun. This is not where we're supposed to be. I want to tell you this morning, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does to the Christian that goes back into the world. You can't enjoy it because you've got God with you. You're taking God places that he don't want to go. You're taking God places that doesn't please him. You're taking God places that, that he'll tell you every place you go, we're not supposed to be here. We're not supposed to be here. We're not supposed to be partaking of these things. You're not going to have any fun. Yeah, maybe sin will be pleasurable for a season for the sinner, for the person that doesn't know Jesus Christ, but for the person that has the Holy Spirit residing in them, there will be not one moment of pleasure back in the world. Not one. So if you're a dove that hasn't come back to the ark this morning, I'll tell you, you're not going to enjoy the world like you used to. You're just not. Number two, what I want to tell you this morning, the window is still open. The window is still open. The way back to God is still open. The Father still waits to welcome you back. You may have gone into sin. You may be doing things that are displeasing to God. I mean, you maybe have gotten mad at God and you've told God you're mad at him. But you know what? He still loves you. He still wants you back. The window's still open. I read a story of an evangelist. He went to a small western town to hold a revival. And when he got there, he met a father who just a few days before, his young son had been very rebellious, actually hit his mother and stomped out of the house and left the house and told his mother and father, I'll never be back. You'll never see me again. The evangelist stayed in town for 4 weeks. He had a hotel room right across from the train station. And every day a train came and went. And every day at train time, this evangelist would look out his window and he'd see this father at the train station pacing the platform. As the train would come in, he'd pace the platform and he'd look in every window in the train. The evangelist was in town for about 4 weeks. So the second week, the second Monday, after he'd seen his father do this for a whole week, he went over to him. He said, what are you doing? I noticed every day for the past week you've been at the train station. What are you doing? And the father says, I'm looking for my son. I heard what he said when he left, but I believe God's going to bring him back to me. And so I'm going to be at this train station every day, and I'm going to look at the train, to all the passengers on the train, to see if he's come home. The evangelist stayed 4 weeks, preached a revival, got ready to go. He went to catch the train. The father was there waiting for the train to come in. Every day for 4 weeks, that father had been there, scanning the windows of the train, looking for his son. As the father met the evangelist, he said, would you please pray for my son? Would you please pray that God would bring him home to me? And they had prayer. Train came. Evangelist got on a train and left. Weeks passed, months passed, 7 years passed. The church that he was in a revival in that town called him back to have another revival. He came riding on that same train. As he pulled into the station, he saw the same father on the boardwalk of the station looking in every window. He got off the train. They greeted each other. He says, "Have you been here every day for the past 7 years?" And the father said, "Yes, I have. Every day for the past 7 years, I've come to this place when the trains come in. I've looked in every window. I'm looking for my son. I know God's going to bring him back to me. I know that he is." At that moment, down the way, off the last car, a young man, clean, strong, got off the train. The father looked past the evangelist, saw that young man. The young man saw that father, dropped the bags he was carrying, ran to his father, fell on his knees, and said, "Daddy, I'm so sorry to what I did to you and mother 7 years ago. Can you find it in your heart to forgive me?" And that father, according to the story, lifted him up off his knees, hugged him, and said, "Son, yes, we can. We forgave you the day that you left. We've been waiting for you to come home." I want to tell you this morning, if you're a dove and you've left the ark, the Father is still waiting for you to come home. I can see that dove as he feasts on that, on those corpses, as he feasts on the garbage, and he has a revelation. He comes to himself as the prodigal son did and says, "I wonder if I could go back to the ark. I don't enjoy this life that I'm living. I don't enjoy living in the world like I used to. There's just no enjoyment anymore. I wonder if I can go back. I wonder if Noah would take me back. I just wonder if I could still get into the ark." He says, "I'm going to go see." And so he flaps the dirt off his wings so he can fly, and he starts to fly, and he flies back toward the ark. And he wonders as he gets back, "I wonder if the window's going to still be open. I wonder if I can be accepted back into the ark. I wonder if Noah will forgive me." And as that dove gets close to the ark, he looks. And here's what he sees. The window is still open. The window is still open. I want to tell you, doves this morning that are outside the ark, that are feasting on the things of the world, God the Father has not given up on you. He has not written you off the books of heaven. You are still his child, and he loves you. The window is still open. He wants you to come back. But I'll go a step further than that. Not only is the window open, but did you notice as we read that story? I can just picture in my mind the dove as he starts back toward the ark. He sees the window open, but then he begins to worry. He says, "You know, I'm dirty. I'm filthy. You can't be in the world without picking up the world's filth. You can't be in the world without picking up the stink and the stench of the world." He says, "I'm dirty. I wonder if Noah will let me back in. The window's open, I see that. But I wonder if Noah's going to let me back in." He gets closer to the ark. What does he see? Out that window is an old man. He's almost 600 years old plus now. And as the dove gets closer to the ark, as the dove gets closer to that window, what happens? That old man stretches forth his arms. He stretches forth his arms. And when that dove lands in his hands, he pulls him back in to the ark. He pulls him back in to the ark of salvation. I want to tell you this something this morning. Not only is the window open, but there is a heavenly Father that has his arms outstretched that's ready to welcome the dove that's been in the world back home. He's like the father of the prodigal son who stands on the porch and looks toward the distance to that far country that his son has gone into. He looks every day, and one day he sees that young man who came to himself, who said in that far land, "Hey, even the servants in my father's house have it better than me. I'm going to go home and see if daddy will forgive me." And he starts home, and that father on the portals of his house looks out, sees that young man's coming, doesn't wait for him to get home. He runs to where he is. He says, "Bring a robe. Put a clean robe on him. Put clean shoes on his feet. A ring on his finger. This my son, which was dead, is alive. This my son, which is lost, is found." That's what God the Father waits to do to every dove that hadn't come back to the ark. The window's open. His hands are outstretched. He wants you to come home. Would you do that this morning? You see, I have no idea who I'm talking to this morning. I don't know. I mean, you can be in the world, and to me, it would look like your life is just, you're living your life exactly the way you're supposed to live it. I don't know. But if you're a dove, and you've spent time outside the ark, you spent time out of the will of God, you spent time out of His love, you spent time out of His will, my invitation to you this morning is to come back. Is to come back. Is to come back. The Father's there. The window's open. His arms are outstretched. He's ready to welcome you home. Now let me say a quick word to the ravens. Those of you that have never been saved, you were not made, you were not created to live in this world. You were not. God's desire for nobody is that they live in this world. God's desire for nobody is that they perish. Nobody. He made you. He created you to be saved. He created you to be part of His family. He created you to be His child. I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what you've done. You were created by God to be a member of His family. He wants every single person to be part of His family. And He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He sent His Son Christ to die on the cross for our sins. You see, our sins prevented us from being part of His family. They had to be paid for. We couldn't pay for them ourselves. Payment for sin is to be separated from God. But Jesus could, because He was the Lamb of God, tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. He could go to the cross and pay for our sins because He had no sins of His own. You weren't made to live in this world. Yeah, sin may be pleasurable, but only for a season. Only for a season. If you've never been saved this morning, you need to come and you need to ask Jesus to save you. You do. Let's pray together. Father, speak to our hearts this morning. Speak to the ravens that are here that never have received Christ. Help them to understand that they're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. The only way they can escape that penalty is to come to Jesus Christ. Father, speak to the doves that are outside of the ark this morning. They've gone back to the world. They've gone back to their old ways. Father, help them understand they're not going to enjoy it. They're not going to enjoy it. Help them to come back. The window's open. Your arms are outstretched. And then, Father, speak to the doves that are in the ark this morning. Help us to rejoice what we have in Jesus Christ. Help us to rejoice in what we have in the Holy Spirit. Bless this time of invitation, Father. Holy Spirit, work. Work. We'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.